24th of May, 1738, John Wesley was converted to Christ. At a meeting in Aldersgate Street, London, Wesley heard an Anglican believer by the name of William Holland read from Martin Luther's commentary on the Book of Romans. About a quarter before nine, Wesley's famous journal entry reads, "While he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." For a few moments, however, I'd like us to think about what happened earlier that day. At about 5 in the morning, Wesley opened his Bible at 2 Peter chapter 1, and the words, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." Just before he left his house, he read Mark chapter 12, verse 34, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." That afternoon, he was invited to go to St. Paul's Cathedral, where he heard the choir sing Psalm 130. Let me read it to you. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." This psalm has four different scenes. Verses 1 and 2 take us out to sea. Verses 3 and 4 take us into the courtroom. Verses 5 and 6 take us to the city walls. And verses 7 and 8 take us to the slave market. First of all, verses 1 and 2. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." The picture here is of someone sinking in a wild and stormy sea. In the year 1735, John Wesley found himself in a storm at sea on his voyage to Savannah, Georgia. He was struck by the calmness of the Moravians on board the ship, a calmness which he himself did not possess. The incident was a link in the chain which would eventually lead him to the Saviour. Sitting in the chancel of St. Paul's Cathedral, a storm was raging in Wesley's life. His soul was perishing, and there was only one person who could help him, and that was the Lord. If you're not saved, only the Lord can help you. Like Peter on Galilee, you just need to say three words, "Lord, save me." And if you say those three words, he will do the rest. If you are saved, there will be times when you find yourself in the depths. The storms will come. These last few months have been particularly stormy. Church gatherings have been deemed non-essential. And the result? No prayer meetings. If you love the place of prayer, no doubt it has felt like having an arm or a leg chopped off. Yes, there are storms on the voyage from earth to heaven, but the great news is that the captain of salvation is only a prayer away. In verses 3 and 4, we move from the sea into the courtroom. The Lord is the judge, and he has kept a meticulous record of all our sins. The evidence is stacked against us. There is only one possible verdict: guilty. No wonder the question is posed: if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But just when all hope seems gone, the judge rises to his feet and shows his hands. The print of the nails is visible to all. Instead of handing down a guilty verdict, the judge acquits the defendant of all charges against him. No wonder the psalmist says, "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Those words must have been music to the ears of John Wesley, and those words are still music to the ears of sinners today. In verses 5 and 6, we move from the courtroom to the city walls. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. The picture here is of a watchman waiting for the dawn. When the Lord forgives a sinner, it is the dawning of a new day for them. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." Finally, in verses 7 and 8, we move from the city walls to the slave market. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." The theme here is redemption, which means setting someone free by paying a price. On this day, in 1738, John Wesley was set free from the burden of his sins. On this day, in 2020, you can be set free from the burden of your sins, and all because of the precious blood of Christ. Believing sinners, free are set, for Christ has paid their dreadful debt. In the year 1523, Martin Luther wrote a paraphrase of Psalm 130. May the words be a blessing to you. "From depths of woe I raise to thee the voice of lamentation. Lord, turn a gracious ear to me, and hear my supplication. If thou iniquities dost mark, our secret sins and misdeeds dark, O who shall stand before thee? To wash away the crimson stain, grace alone availeth. Our works, alas, are all in vain, in much the best life faileth. No man can glory in thy sight, all must alike confess thy might, and live alone by mercy. Therefore my trust is in the Lord, and not in mine own merit. On him my soul shall rest, his word upholds my fainting spirit. His promised mercy is my fort, my comfort and my sweet support. I wait for it with patience. Though great our sins and sore our woes, his grace much more aboundeth. His helping love no limit knows, our utmost need it soundeth. Our shepherd good and true is he, who will at last his Israel free from all their sin and sorrow."